Good morning, friends. This sermon for today is called Why We Should Welcome Judgment. The scripture passages upon which it's based are Amos chapter 5, verses 18 through 24 from the Old Testament, and the gospel lesson is Matthew 25, verse 31 through 46. Matthew 25, 31 through 46. Why We Should Welcome Judgment. Last week I was at an airport in Port-au-Prince, and I was waiting at the check-in counter to open, and a young man passed me by. He was a Haitian man, and he asked me if I was a missionary or a pastor. Well, very few tourists actually visit Port-au-Prince, so it was probably a good deduction. I told him I was a pastor, and he asked me if I pray to God for forgiveness. And I told him that I did, and he immediately corrected me by saying that if we are saved through faith in Jesus Christ, we are sanctified by Christ's blood, and we're no longer required to pray to God for forgiveness. We don't have to ask God for forgiveness because we are forgiven once and for all. And he impressed me by pulling out a smartphone, and it had his Bible app on it, and he referenced a half dozen scripture verses, mostly out of the book of Hebrews, in order to support his case. And I was a little bit embarrassed as a pastor, for not because I wasn't able to handle my Bible app as well as he, but because I didn't know my scripture as well as he. But I did remember that, I mentioned the Lord's Prayer, where Jesus teaches us to pray to the Father, forgive us our trespasses. And I asked him, well, what's your take on that? And he gave me an understanding, saying that, well, this was before Jesus's death and crucifixion and resurrection, and therefore it was applicable before, but now it's no longer. But anyway, I fortunately at that point, the counter opened up, and I had to go, and I gave him a quick wave of goodbye. But if you know me, you know that I'm not particularly fond of theological arguments like this. Two reasons mainly. One is that I know that the Bible can be and has been used to justify nearly any position you'd like to make. And it's not a single book by a single author with a single message. It's 66 books and various authors, various times. But the second reason, and the main reason that I don't like getting wrapped up in these discussions, is that I believe strongly that they're a distraction. I believe that Christians spend far too much time and energy splitting hairs. To me, the main message is that God loves us immensely, and that He wants us to do better in our loving of other people. There's nothing to dispute in that. And if we believe that, other things fall into place. Of course, God forgives us when we repent, and He leads us if we ask Him to. So the less time we spend arguing with one another about how sanctification occurs, or how this happens, or the nature of the Trinity, the more time we have to do the things that God wants us to do. And be honest, we're not doing a very good job of those things. So we need to spend much more time and energy on those things. So today we're focusing our attention on this issue of judgment. And Christians often get into a tizzy regarding this issue. Judgment is something that we need to welcome in the present. Think about it. The reason we dread Judgment Day is because we doubt our own case. We doubt how we will stand when it comes to judgment. We're not so sure how we'll stand on that unknown day in the future. That's why so many people spend so much time emphasizing the theology of salvation. And Christianity offers us a menu of options with regard to salvation. All would agree, I think, that we are saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. But from there, things break down. Some will swear that it's simply a matter of confessing that Jesus is Lord with our lips and believing with our hearts. Of course, there's where a breakdown occurs there too, because we have to ask ourselves, well, do I truly believe? Because every belief is tinged by doubt. Some will say that our actions must bear witness to our faith. I think we would all agree on that. Some will say that all believers enter paradise when their life ends. Some will say that there's a distinction between those who are still be held back because of their sins and who need to be further sanctified, and so they don't enter paradise immediately. In our Old Testament lesson, God, speaking through the prophet Amos, says that the Jews are mistaken if they think that all the rituals, the festivals, the music, the sacrifices, they're wrong if they think that all that puts them on God's good side. What it ends up saying is that justice and righteousness are what God expects of his people. And the Apostle Paul explains that we are justified through Jesus Christ. What does that mean? It means that our faith in him as our Savior and Lord makes us righteous, not by some magic loophole, but because we submit ourselves freely and completely to Christ's authority. Remember, it was Paul who said that I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. We give ourselves to Christ. When we repent, we acknowledge that we have failed and that we ain't getting better on our own initiative. That's that no amount of good that we do in our lives is going to outweigh the bad, and that we don't have the power to make ourselves good. Then we appeal to God's grace again, because we know that we can't pass the test relying on our own abilities. And so in faith, we place our trust in God's love, and it's there that we find our peace, and it's there that we must remain. We put our trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior. And you see, once we're there, once we're in Christ's hands, in the realm of God's love and grace, we have no fear of judgment. We're there. We are saved. We are being sanctified. The reason we don't fear judgment is not because we understand how the process works. The reason we don't fear judgment is because we have opened ourselves up to perpetual judgment. It's called sanctification. Everyone knows that our lives don't suddenly become perfect when we repent and accept Christ into our hearts. But we open ourselves up to the process, and the process works only if we open ourselves to God's judgment, to the Word of God coming down to us and saying, this needs to be changed. You're going wrong here. You didn't see this before, but you're messing up over here. This is how I'd like you to act. Which means we become aware of the places where sin still holds sway in our lives. And we surrender it to Christ as we become aware of it. Christ frees us from that sin. The problem occurs when we look for shortcuts, when we say, well, I don't want to give up this sin. I don't want to forgive that person. I don't want to love that person. I don't want to take care of the needs of others. And here is where our gospel lesson needs to shake us up a little bit. There is a judgment here between the sheep and the goats, a very familiar passage, Matthew chapter 25, starting with verse 31. Read it. There is judgment for those who don't submit themselves to Christ's authority. And you can't say that you submit to him if you insist on holding on to your sin. God is loving, God is patient, and I believe God's desire is that every person dwell with him eternally. But refusal to submit means that we now fall under judgment. And so you exhibit fear of judgment, which translates into an obsession with the theology of judgment, and you're looking for those loopholes, those ways to get away from damnation, or ways to get away from God's righteous judgment, which is that you're not doing what you need to do. You have to submit yourself to Christ in order to be sanctified, in order to avoid having those sins held over you. But if you rest secure in Christ, when you rest secure in Christ, we can welcome God's judgment because we not only know that His judgment is perfect, but we want to be perfected. And we trust that we will be perfected. Observe our gospel lesson about the sheep and the goats. Too often we understand the goats. They're the ones who paid lip service to Jesus, saying they loved him, but not following through by doing the things for the least of these. But note the mindset of the sheep. Note the mindset of those that do obey Jesus Christ, who serve Jesus Christ, who serve the least of these in this way that they would serve anyone else, that they would serve Jesus Christ. They serve Christ completely, and so they have no fear of judgment, no concern whatsoever. As long as we look for shortcuts, for ways to avoid serving the least of these, we should stand in fear of judgment. But as long as we are true to our word in making Jesus Christ our Lord, we can welcome judgment because we respond to that judgment, and it makes us better and better at serving God. And eventually we reach that point where we are the people God wants us to be. The imperfections are burned away, and we shine beautifully in God's eyes. So whatever happens after death, we live with hope in life eternal, and in the assurance that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depths, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 8:38 through 39. Amen.